The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded. And I'm going to be honest with you. I walked in at the end of Victor's show and heard him going on Nikki Haley being the vice president. And I have to say, I do not like that idea.
I don't either, but I'm trying to be realistic.
Yeah, but come on. Trump's got to realize when he's done, who's going to come in after him? You want Nikki Haley to be the presidential candidate after that?
No. But if here's what I would say. If he does choose her and she's VP, if she goes back to being the Nikki Haley of the UN, you know,
just the fact that she has multiple personalities should stay away from.
Everybody should be forewarned. But remember, Donald Trump was a big Democrat all his life, and look how good he's
been. He changed parties six times in 20 years.
That's true.
He went back and forth with the ebb and flow because of his business.
Talk about multiple personalities.
Yeah.
But look how awesome he is.
But everyone knew why he did it because he was a businessman.
Well, one of the best things he did was when he was debating Hillary and she tried to nail him on taxes, and he said in the comment, the moderator said, "Well, Trump, did you try to avoid taxes?" And he looked at him and goes, "Sure I did. Of course I did. I do the very same things that her friends and her donors do."
Right.
It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. But
no one's going to pay
Donald
more
Trump
than they have to.
Of course,
they're not stupid.
If you do, then
or unless you feel the need to more taxes,
hey, you go knock yourself out.
I'll give you my name, and you can donate those taxes in my name, so I can take care of my tax burden a little bit.
Exactly.
I'd be more than happy to accept any donations to pay my taxes. Victor,
100.
I think you're going to be on that list too.
I'm going to be on that list 100%.
The top of that
100%.
List.
100%. And these blowhards like Bernie Sanders and Biden and the rest of the Democrats, they should be the first to dip into their own pocket since they try to dip into everybody else's pocket.
Right. So they probably pay the least amount of taxes
100%.
And they want to spend more of anybody else's taxes.
If you analyze the tax returns of these bozo Democrats up there, they pay as least amount as possible.
All these politicians who get into office and on $174,000 a year salary end up being multimillionaires in 4 years.
Multimillionaires. Because they're making carve outs for themselves, and it just pisses me off. But you know, getting back to the Nikki Haley thing, Roger, I'm like you. I don't want her because I'm looking to the future.
Right.
But I understand that it's a high probability that she could be because she's got so many donors behind her.
Right.
And she's and the party was
Trump
a little
is
fractured.
Not the guy who's going after money either, though.
Nobody is. I mean, because of what they've done with the lawfare, he does need the money, and even he knows it.
But I know.
I'll tell you this, though, and here's another one of those trend lines that I tell people to follow instead of just polling. Donald Trump, for the first time, outraised Biden in the month of April. So things are shifting.
Right. Think that has nothing to do with him necessarily, a little bit maybe.
Well,
but a lot of it has to do with the political season. Most people don't start looking at politics until middle or end of the summer. They start making decisions, making donations, things like that. Right now, they're all saying, oh, that's months away. They're kicking the can down the road saying,
whoever
I vote for, I'll donate when I'm ready.
That's true too, but still, to see things turn like they're turning in him and to win, to raise more money in April, that's pretty big news.
Yeah.
That's pretty big news. And
he's
got a lot of, small donations coming in, and that's what you want to see.
Well, that's why he's the people's candidate to me.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Cause I've talked to people who have met him. And they were not his biggest fans, mm-hmm. and they met him, and they said, he seems like a genuinely interested person. Mm-hmm. He looks at you, he talks to you, he looks you in the eye,
mm-hmm.
and he listens to what you say, and he pays attention because you can tell he heard what you told mm-hmm. him. He responds directly.
I talked about that a little bit today, Roger. Donald Trump is truly the epitome of a blue-collar billionaire who can step outside of his world and relate to Joe Schmo or
But
or
now wait,
Jane.
But you know, you say blue collar, and you know what? That is entirely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is he a little crass sometimes? Is he a little uncouth?
He's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker. He's a loudmouth New Yorker.
So he's
more blue collar than almost any president we've ever had.
That's what I talked about today, Roger. And you're 100% right. He's the closest thing to a blue collar president we've ever had.
Well, in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Since Ronald Reagan, probably.
Yeah.
And just like, that Bronx thing, the last president, the last Republican to go to the Bronx was Ronald Reagan.
Right. And have a reception like he did.
And Reagan had, did not have the reception like Trump had. What happened last week in the Bronx was just, it was amazing.
Well, yeah, he did a speech there, right?
Yeah. Donald Trump, it turned into a rally.
It turned into a
rally where they had a park set up and a little stage set up for Trump to talk to a few voters. They had room for 3,500. They ended up having somewhere between 20,000-25,000 people.
In the Bronx of New York.
In the Bronx.
Wow.
In the Bronx. We're talking an area that part of that area elected AOC.
Okay.
AOC is her representative.
That's part of AOC's district.
That's part of her district. And these people were out there. I mean, it was amazing. It really was amazing. But I'll tell you, Roger, I'm like you. I want to see an outsider, a business person be VP.
Yeah, because I mean, what has been his political jobs before president?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He's never been involved other than being a donor. He's never been in politics.
I think that's
before
one
that.
Thing that's Trump's best attribute.
I know. He's not a politician.
So I would love for the Republican VP choice, but I'm just telling you,
he's going to need somebody to help tie him to the establishment in some way.
That's the other thing. Nikki, if you look at the primaries that have gone on, Nikki Haley's consistently gotten 15-20%.
Right.
That's a lot of voters that can make a difference.
That's more than Kamala Harris got.
It's
when she
a
was
lot
running.
More. Kamala Harris didn't even get 2%.
I know, and yet she became VP.
Nikki Haley's getting
but
there is that.
But
that
last
bridge.
Time, everybody was choosing who he should pick, and he didn't pick any of them.
Which is why I would say that's why I'm saying now
he may come out of the blue with something crazy.
All this talk about Doug Burman. Let me tell you, Doug Burman would be a horrible choice.
Probably,
that's what people are all. Oh, he's going to pick Doug. No, that'd be horrible. And now they're on a Stefanik hit kick. She would be also a horrible choice, in my opinion.
So Nikki Haley would be reasonable.
Nikki would be, believe it or not, she would be reasonable because...
I mean, she was second place in all the primaries,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was second place. She brings money.
Or was DeSantis? No, DeSantis dropped out early.
Technically, DeSantis was the closest person to... Who could say they were beating Trump?
Right.
Because until the first indictment, Ron DeSantis was on his way to possibly beating Trump.
Wow.
But when that first indictment came down, that was it. Everybody went to Trump. And
you know,
Trump
that's hilarious. So the Democrats are pushing him.
Yeah.
They're pushing him to the top of the pool.
But I will tell you this. I said it months ago. The Democrats wanted Donald Trump to be the nominee. So everything they've done was to get him to be the nominee. But now, and I said back then, careful what you wish for. This might backfire. And it looks like
it. Much as get
and it.
It
looks like it's backfiring. Donald Trump looks unstoppable right now. And honestly, I do not think any other Republican, DeSantis included, would be pulling the Hispanic and black vote like Donald Trump is starting to.
Right. You're absolutely
now,
right.
DeSantis was close. He's very close.
Is his name Hispanic?
He's Italian.
Italian,
and in Florida, he is pulling more Hispanics than ever to the Republican Party, and he's pulling black votes too.
Well, because he's done a great job in Florida, and people realize that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's another reason the dream ticket is Trump DeSantis.
Right, but
both of them are pulling in black voters. Both of them are pulling in Hispanic voters, but I don't think it can happen.
Right.
The other name that's out there is Tim Scott from South Carolina.
Oh yeah, he's good too.
I like Tim Scott. I don't think he relates to people as well as.
But you know what? The smartest guys usually don't.
That's
unfortunate.
But he's not even considered an academic per se.
No, he's wise.
But you know what? He's a sharp dude, and he's got a good story.
It's like Ben Carson would be an interesting
Ben Carson
source.
Would be outstanding. I would rather Ben
He's
Carson
not even in
over,
politics much anymore, is
no,
he?
No, and I don't think I will say this.
His age would probably prevent
if
that.
If it was Ben Carson, then we would have an open primary for sure because Ben Carson's not going to run for president.
Yeah, he's already 70-something, I think.
But I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I think Trump's going to want to go for a young, vibrant, somebody who's going to smack the Democrats in the face.
Got to be a minority
face.
Of some type.
Unfortunately, I hate to say it because I don't want any DEI picks. I want people picked on qualifications, but I will say this. The Democrat Party has more qualified minorities than the Democrats could ever dream of.
But they don't use any of them.
They do, but not enough. But I do think, like I said, Trump is smart enough to know you need somebody young. You need somebody to slap the Democrats in the face. And I think you do that with a young minority.
Right. But I think he's also got to pick somebody. Because, you know, no one votes for the vice president.
No, they don't. They don't.
But
no matter what you're told.
He's going to have to pick somebody who will not get in the way of possibly DeSantis coming in
100%.
Well, and running away with it, or somebody like that.
I'll say this. It's going to be tough because whoever VP is, they're probably going to run. It's very rare that a VP doesn't run.
Right.
I mean, Biden didn't run because he was forced out by Obama.
Well, Pence didn't get a chance because Trump was running again.
Well, because Pence, I mean, because it was Trump. Yeah, you always run for
two terms.
It was
the Trump-Pence ticket, yeah.
Now, if Pence...
He didn't even run in the primary this time.
He did.
Oh, he did. Yeah, okay, he tried.
I was going to say, that's why Pence got in this primary and got his tail handed to him.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was a nobody.
Nobody wants the establishment, and he's the establishment guy. But you see, like I said, every VP is going to run for president. The only ones who didn't was Dick Cheney. And
now, I wonder if they asked Trump flat out, given an honest answer, were you happy with your pick of Pence for VP?
You know what? I'll bet you.
He wouldn't bash him in public or anything. I'm saying a private conversation.
Well, see,
he'll give you information that you
said
this doesn't get out of this room.
Here's the thing about Trump that people need to understand. Until Pence comes out and gets behind Trump, I think Trump would trash him. Trump, if you ask Trump right now about Pence, he's going to say Pence was a joke, Pence was this, Pence. He's going to have negative things to say. But as soon as Pence wakes up and says, we got to support Trump, then I think Trump would come back and say, okay, yeah, he was a stand-up guy. He did a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Trump doesn't hold grudges.
His honest opinion, though, I wonder if you got his honest opinion.
I don't think he
not to be released to the public. I'm saying just in a private conversation.
Private, he would probably tell you he
made the wrong choice.
Purpose.
Yeah, he served his purpose, but I think he made the wrong choice.
Oh, I think Trump, if he had to do it over again, he would have picked complete different people.
He learned so much from that first
term. But it's understandable because he had to play with the establishment, which is why.
But I think he's realizing now he maybe went too far.
Oh, 100%.
In appeasing them.
100%. And he won't do that again.
That's what I'm hoping. But that's what I want to hear.
I will say, that's why I think Nikki Haley's in the running, because Nikki Haley she went establishment to try to beat Trump, but she's not of the establishment.
But prior to that, she's been kind of an independent.
She was a
little
more
rogue
lady.
Yeah.
I mean, she was more of a conservative, got a good record from South Carolina. She was great as a UN ambassador, strength and conservative, because she pushed Trump's policies.
But that's why I love Sarah Huckabee.
That's my choice right there.
That would be my next step below DeSantis would be Sarah Huckabee.
I don't even count DeSantis anymore because I don't think he can do it because he's in Florida.
Right. No,
so
he's ineligible, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But you just nailed my first choice.
Yeah, me too. That's
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. If anybody's listening to us right now, Donald Trump.
You seven people who listen to us.
Yeah. Sit down.
Spread the word.
because Trump should, oh my gosh, Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be, do you remember, Roger,
when she was a press secretary?
Stand in front of the press and just,
boy.
I mean, it was nothing like what you're seeing today with this bozo of the EI girl
She
has to read from her binder.
Right. I mean, Sarah Huckabee was sharp as a tack.
She knew the issue. She knew what she would preempt these reporters because she already knew. I know what you bozos are going to say.
Yeah, I've been following the news all week. I know what you're going to ask me about.
I know.
And I'm going to start right here before you guys say a question. I'm going to tell you this.
Sarah
and then
Huckabee,
if you have a question, we'll talk.
Man, she could come out and she could look at these people and go, I know how you think.
Right. I know what you want to get out of this thing, and I'm not going to give it to you.
I can't, Roger. That would be that's the dream. Ticket.
That would be my ideal situation.
Huckabee. I hope I'm hoping for that.
The crazy thing would be she could be a super viable presidential candidate.
Now, if Sarah Huckabee is the VP, I do believe she'll be the first woman president.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind, because the Trump presidency is going to be so successful, namely because Biden has put us in such a hole. And
it's
honestly,
it's going to be so easy to make improvements.
It's very easy to get out of this hole. It really
is. You're at the bottom. There's nowhere to go but up.
All you have
to
with the right policies.
If Biden gets a second term,
you're going to see that hole get bigger.
We're backing up and hitting the iceberg again.
We're going to back up and hit the iceberg again. Or you want to dig a hole all the way to the center of the earth, we're going to get there with Joe Biden or any Democrat. Because trust me,
their policies are just not conducive to a good economy.
There are progressive nut jobs. But a Sarah Huckabee, oh my goodness.
Do you have any idea how they feel about each other? Have they ever had any interaction?
Oh, she's a big supporter. Yeah,
oh, is
they
she?
Like
okay, good. Okay, good.
Well,
so that's
Trump and Trump and Mike Huckabee have a very good relationship.
Do they? Okay.
And so, but Sarah was fantastic as a press secretary. And think about this, Roger, of all the people out there trying to get book deals and trying to make money off Trump's name, good or bad. You haven't heard a peep from Sarah Huckabee.
No. Oh, see? Heard a peep from Sarah Huckabee. I wonder if she's waiting in the wings.
So I hope.
He's going to be surprise because pick.
Roger,
and throw everybody off their
I
game.
I agree with you. I think every name we're hearing now will not be the not. It'll be somebody we haven't heard.
Because I don't think anybody. Picked Pence when he was looking for
I don't think so either. I don't remember.
Anybody,
yeah.
His name was never dropped anywhere.
I don't remember his name being floating around at all. I remember Rubio and Cruz and all these other people. But never, I did not hear Pence. So I'm hoping with you, Roger. I'm with you. I do not, even, that's why I say Haley's in the running because everybody's saying Haley's not in the running. Everybody's saying no way.
Yeah,
Haley.
But they're talking about her.
Nobody's really talking about her. I am.
Why? I think other people think she's a possibility.
Though. I haven't heard anybody, news people say that Nikki Haley, everybody thinks.
Well,
Everybody thinks she burnt the bridge. I'm just saying, I think she's in the running, but I hope Sarah Huckabee.
But I'm hoping Huckabee's sitting back going,
oh my gosh.
We've already had a conversation. I'm going to keep my mouth shut until he makes that announcement. Yeah, yeah. And there
I am. That would be the best. Can you imagine? Trump has momentum now. Imagine the momentum if he chooses Sarah Huckabee Sanders to be my VP.
Oh, man.
We start seeing signs, Trump Sanders.
She's a strong woman. She's a strong conservative.
I just thought of something.
And she's liberal enough.
Oh, man, she's awesome, Roger.
To where she could carry a vote of the moderates also.
I think so, too. I think she could bridge that gap 100%. But I thought about this.
Oh, yeah?
How many of the dumb masses that are out there who support Bernie Sanders, how many of them will think they're voting for Bernie Sanders because it's
Sanders.
Not going to be Sanders?
Yeah, Sanders.
So her name is going to be, it's going to be Trump Sanders. It's not going to be Trump Huckabee.
Maybe
so it'll be Trump Sanders. So how many of the, look, we all know those voters are less than smart. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're less than smart. So if they see the Sanders name, they might actually think it's Bernie Sanders.
I think most of them are way less than average, much less smart.
I think you're right.
But, giving them too much credit.
So
saying they
how
could possibly
many of those,
be smart.
But I can't wait to walk around and see, oh, you're supporting Bernie. Absolutely. Trump Bernie, let's go.
Trump Bernie, yeah. Sanders
it'll say Trump.
Trump
Sanders. It'll say Trump Sanders on the ticket, and people will see the sticker. So some of these low information voters are going to go, man, it's Sanders.
We can make a distinguished gentlewoman, too.
That's perfect. What a great movie that was. The name you know.
That's exactly right. Sanders, the name you know.
Sanders, the name you know. Oh, my gosh, I love it. Roger, I hope we're right. I hope you and I are known to be prophets after this.
Right, because I mean, the fact that he picked somebody so out of the blue the last time makes me think he's got.
I agree.
Some picks already, and he's not showing his hand.
I think he knows already too. Whether it's Nikki or Sarah or whoever, I think he does know. And I don't think it's Doug Burgum. It's not going to be.
It's probably nobody who's been talked about.
Yeah, that's,
he's
going to
come out of the blue, just like with Pence.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the blue, they're going to.
I hope so, Roger. Oh, I hope.
And the first thing I want to do when he announces, they're going to start Googling, who is that?
Yeah, who is that? Yeah. I hope you're right.
Now, if it's Sanders, they're all going to be up in an uproar going, that was an ideal choice that nobody had thought about.
It's going to be the best choice ever, I think. She's not on any, I mean, I've heard her mentioned a couple of times, but they're really, no one's really given any credit. I mean.
Well, they're probably trying to keep it on the DL right now.
Maybe so, because I do believe Trump knows already. I do believe he knows.
Or he has a short list at least.
A very short list, and I'll bet you that all the names
and
that are on.
And I guess Haley's on it, but I bet she's toward the bottom.
I bet she's there. It makes sense in a lot of ways.
Because you think about this. He listened to his advisor so much during his first term. And
which
he realizes a lot of those mistakes he was accused or made were because listening to a conservative advisor.
Right.
He was trying to bridge that gap.
It wasn't a conservative advisor. It was establishment Republican
advisor. Right. Establishment advisor. Well, conservative
the
in the
bureaucracy.
Fact, keeping things the same conservative.
Yeah.
Keeping the establishment in power.
Man,
and I think he realized that and he learns from his mistakes.
Oh, 100%. I think things are going to be, this is why they are so afraid. Just as many Republicans are afraid of a Trump presidency, establishment.
Come in experienced as much as he is that last term. He's going to come in. He's got a clean house wherever he can. Imagine him firing every district attorney across the country.
He needs to do that anyway.
Right.
He needs to do that, and he needs to fire every head of the department, every our law enforcement agencies, fire everyone.
Anybody he can legally drop.
I mean the
right.
Echelon.
anybody he can legally drop or fire, he needs to do it and replace
them with good
people.
Whoever's under the purview of the executive branch. And a lot of the bureaucracy is under the purview of the executive branch.
Because if you remember, and he Clinton, can do that. Clinton fired all 40 U.S. district attorneys.
Most presidents do. Most presidents will let go a lot and do the
Bush switch. Let go eight. And they made it sound like
he was
starting
apocalypse.
A revolution, you know.
And then Bill Clinton comes in and gets rid of all of them.
All 40 of them. And the media just didn't.
And the media was like, oh, nothing to see here.
That's all standard procedure.
Well, Donald J. Trump needs to come in and what was that show he had?
The Apprentice. You're fired.
You're fired. I'm serious. That needs to be.
Send him a video.
Make America Great Again needs to go on pause, and because of the first week needs to be you're fired.
Now he needs to have a long list of potential replacements.
I think he's already got a list. I think he does. Yeah. I think he's got a list of people
he wants.
A lot
of work, but he can do that.
I bet you he's already reaching out to people saying, hey, listen, this is not going to be the same as my first term. I only have one term. What are they going to do to me?
Right.
So come work with me. Come help.
Well, the first 2 years of his first term, they were investigating him forever.
Oh, dude, it was.
They tied him
a whole 4 years. They did.
Had they,
and that was mostly because of the freaking Republicans.
Right.
That's what's so sad.
Had they not done that, he would have got so much more done.
Can you imagine, Roger? I mean, look how good we were.
Yeah.
I mean. Well, he's going to come back, and he's going to do great.
As long as he learns from his mistakes, he's going to do great.
Don't play with the establishment.
Don't play with the establishment. If there's any doubt, keep your mouth shut till you're sure.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I will say this.
Don't answer every idiot who approaches you on Twitter and pokes you.
And this may be why I think somebody like Haley has a chance, is because I don't want him to coddle the establishment, but he is going to have to work in the beginning. The only way to get us out of this mess is by growth, so we're going to have to lower taxes, we're going to have to really change a few things and cut spending.
Well, that's going to be a matter of the election for Senate and the Congress.
He's going to need that, yeah. And which is why I always tell people, don't vote for the same bozos, Lindsey Graham and McConnell, throw them out. Let's get some good, new, young conservatives who are going to get with Trump but we will have to have a coalition.
Now, keep in mind, though, if they put new senators in, they're not going to have the same committee assignments that the establishment guys have got. They won't have the same influence.
But if we get rid of the establishment, then
they have to replace them with somebody.
These people will get committee appointment. I mean, everybody gets a committee, but it's a matter of which one. And
right, urban development, gender studies.
Yeah, exactly.
You're ahead of gender studies, what?
But we do, I'm telling you, there's some good, anybody who's looking for a positive light for what's going on right now, that's your positive light.
Oh, yeah.
What Trump could do in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then what Sarah Huckabee could do in 8 years.
They had to shut Trump down with the coronavirus
to stop him
from being the most successful president in the first 4 years ever.
There's so much truth to that, Roger, because I don't care what anybody says. China released that on purpose. I mean, they may not have, the virus escaped, but once it did, then China they let it leave the country.
Propagate, but also.
And they did it on purpose because they
But you look at the severity of it, and swine flu was just as bad, but yet they pushed that under the rug when Obama was president because they didn't want it to scar his presidency.
He had a Democrat president. I mean, Roger, you're 100%. China effectively ended Trump's.
And now the studies are coming out where they're showing, had they not confined everybody to private groups, they would have spread
all
out.
The evidence.
It would have been so much less dangerous.
What we talked about before, natural immunity would have taken place a lot quicker than it did, and we would have gotten through this. The only people they should have sheltered were the elderly, and they knew almost immediately that it was the elderly that were at more danger, and people
with cancer. They're at danger of pneumonia,
absolutely,
things like that.
So
also,
really,
they're always in more danger. Yeah.
And we could have really closed off the elderly. We could have really closed off
and it would have helped to some
immune compromise,
right?
But if we had a less normal people, we should have never. The worst thing to do was to shut things down. That would be worse. If we had left people in place to do if you were healthy, you go work, you go do what you do. Like us, Roger, we didn't participate in any lockdowns. We were out there enjoying whoever would let us in the door.
That's right. I was going. I mean,
with no mask.
That's right. So. I did have a mask. I wore to Costco at one point. This mask is complete bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Bullsqueeze.
And I wrote it on the front of the mask and I walked in. And I walked in without the mask on because I'm going to see how far I get. Like, you need to put a mask on. Yeah. So I look at her and I put it on and I look at her. And she scowls and just walks away from me like,
I would
it's on, but I didn't like it.
I wouldn't put it back then. Everywhere I went, I didn't put on a mask until they ran me down and,
right.
and started crying for me to put one on.
You need to put a mask on.
But I always did the same thing. I put on either, every mask I had a message. Just about everyone mm-hmm. I had a message.
As long as you, it's like my t-shirts. All have a message.
Yeah, all have a message. So. All right, Roger, I got
to go.
Bottom line is, the best thing that could happen was him to pick Sarah Huckabee. That
right.
would be great.
Hopefully, I think we'll I hope someone needs to bring that up to him at least.
I hope so. Sarah would be great.
Because the fact Sarah that she's not saying anything, he's not saying anything, makes me think they got a little secret in their back pocket.
I hope so. Let's hope, Roger. We can hope. Because I think she would be absolutely fantastic. There's no doubt in my mind. And you know what? If we get Haley, we'll live through it. She'll have to fight in the primary, and
now,
I think she'll get beat.
I wonder if Huckabee Sanders became the nominee for the next term after, would DeSantis consider being her VP?
Oh, I think he would.
And
you get that tap, you never say no.
Right. That's what I keep hearing. And it's like, could you imagine him for 8 years and then coming in with DeSantis after that?
This is what I'm saying, Roger. The potential.
This could be legacy.
The potential we have right now to really, really put this country on a good track would be 4 years of Trump, 8 years of Huckabee, Huckabee Sanders, and then possibly 8 years of DeSantis. Think about it. You can't set this country. And then
Our economy would be unstoppable.
We would be so strong militarily, economically. We would be so
Imagine if we just back to being energy independent.
Would be energy independent. And you know what?
So we could tell OPEC to stuff it.
I mean, think about it. Exactly. And with energy independence, then you really can let the free market do what it does best, which is innovate.
Plus, if we get back to where we were with Trump, energy independence, we were exporting more oil than we were using. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying this would be the best thing to do, but I would certainly consider this. Imagine using exported oil for political influence.
Of course.
As far as making countries say, hey, we'll do this with you. We'll take care of your oil situation, but you need to disown the Russian oil and get it from us.
In a lot of ways, Trump did that. The reason why Russia didn't attack is because Trump had them so constrained, and he was making Germany buy our natural gas, making Germany and Europe buy
stuff from us. Well, he's making it more available, yeah.
And then the reason why China wasn't doing anything and the reason why Iran couldn't do anything is because Trump broke Iran. Iran was broke. He basically told all the countries, if you buy oil from Iran, you won't do business with the U.S. Make your choice.
And
people made their choice, and Iran was broke.
Him bringing back all the manufacturing to the U.S. Made our products again become popular worldwide again.
And you implement the fair tax under Trump, and holy cow. We're going to be off and running. There'll be so much growth. This country would be amazing.
You'll have to hide from a job.
You would have to hide from a job.
A good job.
And you'd have to hide from, you really would.
A good job.
But imagine that, and then Huckabee pick up the mantle.
Now
because
Huckabee, I think she's a big fair tax supporter, is she not?
I would imagine so. Her dad still
Her
dad is actually on the board of the fairtax.org.
So chances are
she knows all
about
it.
Now, has DeSantis ever spoke about that, the fair tax?
Yeah, he's actually a proponent of it.
Okay,
so
good.
He would be in.
So he knows.
Oh, he would be.
Well, Florida
somebody needs to educate Trump on it. That's
Florida has no state income tax.
So he knows. Yeah.
Yeah, they have no state income tax. So.
Yep. All right. It would be amazing. Listen, we just solved the world's problems.
I know. In 1 hour. 1 hour a week.
In 30 minutes.
30 minutes. 30 minutes a week. Combined, we will solve all the problems our country has
to offer. Right. No, that's. No, Roger. I hope people realize. We really could, after all the mess, you look at how much mess they've made in 3 short years.
I know.
But we could really fix things with 4 years of Trump, 8 years of Sanders, and 8 years of
DeSantis.
Man.
But you know what? Good times create soft people, and soft people create bad times.
You know what? True. But if this happens and we get what we're talking about, you and I could retire in like 5 years.
Oh, yeah, easy. But we'll stay on the radio to keep
everybody
informed.
We'll stay on the radio, absolutely.
All right, producer Brett's saying we got to take a break, so I'm going to get in there right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Do you love classic and special interest cars? If so, listen to our podcast every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on America's Web Radio, or find us on your favorite podcast site, iTunes, Spotify, or any of the others out there. We'll talk about classic cars. We'll talk to car guys. We'll talk to clubs that are here at our facility here in Classic Auto Mall. And we'll also talk about Classic Auto Mall and how we can help you sell your classic or special interest car. So give us a listen every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thanks.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and we're back on America's Web Radio. And right before we left, Eric, we were talking a little politics with Victor because it is an election year, and we have to consider all the factors that are going to affect our gun freedoms. And generally speaking, conservatives tend to be more constitutionally accurate than a lot of the less conservative candidates. And, you know, it bothers me because a lot of the conservative candidates have religious implications that make their candidacy more difficult for the moderate or the more liberal person to swallow. And if they would just concentrate on the issues, the economic issues, the freedom issues, and try and keep the religion out of it for now. And I know a lot of people are there saying, well, you got to have that because that's what drove everything to be better than it's ever been, is by having guiding religious principles. And I get that. But you can also have guiding principles of moral issues that are good without having to involve as much religion in it. Because to be honest, more people in the world have died because of religious battles than almost any other single factor. Religion and territory disputes are the two things that have killed more people in this world than any other factors whatsoever. I don't think the Black Plague even killed as many people as did battles for religious ideology and battles for territory. Almost every war in history was fought because of religion or territorial disputes. And when it comes to that, you got to consider, okay, so this guy may be a different religion than you, or he may not believe the same area as far as religious-based views, but does he or she have your freedoms at heart? Do they have your freedoms at the top of their list? Do they want to make sure the Second Amendment is supported and backed up during their term as a politician? You know, that's the kind of thing you have to think about if you're a gun owner and you want to consider, you know, freedom, the right to keep and bear arms. And it's funny because you see so many times the media, the politicians, they try and distort figures into making you be afraid. They want you to be scared. There was a shooting, where was it, this week, I think, in Isla Vista. There was an apartment complex, apparently, and there was somebody who he ended up shooting three people, and three other people were stabbed, and he used his car to ram into pedestrians randomly. And so he ended up killing and hurting a lot of people, but the media comes in and says it was a mass shooting. But if you look at the FBI's standard definition of mass shooting, you'll see that requires four or more victims to be shot to death. So the Isla Vista shooting doesn't even meet that criteria. Now, granted, three other people were killed, but they were stabbed to death. They were not shot. So it can't be a mass shooting if you have people stabbed. Unless the guy is shooting knives out of his gun, that doesn't count. But the media will show pictures of stab victims, call them gunshot victims, and tell you that six people were shot and killed over this, at this particular shooting. And it's not true. Absolutely not true. Bunch of other people were run over with a car, hit with a car and wounded. Again, not shot. So please pay attention to the facts on these things. I'm not saying only three people shot is a good thing. There should be no people shot who don't deserve it. You know, if you're not a criminal committing a crime, if you're not somebody threatening somebody's life, there should be no reason to have anybody shot or stabbed for that matter. But this guy, it was a 50-50 attack. He didn't discriminate. Knife, gun, 50-50. Three were killed with a knife, three were killed with a gun. But the media showed all six victims and only talked about mass shooting. They didn't even mention the fact that that half the people in this mass shooting were stabbed to death. So be aware when you watch the news and pay attention to the facts, because it's just, there's too many media outlets that just want to distort the figures and push certain politicians to have an agenda. They want to have an agenda where the right to keep and bear arms does not exist in our country anymore. That's what they're looking for. That's what they want. That's their ultimate goal. In fact, so many states now violate constitutional rights over and over again. And even with the courts overturning their unconstitutional laws, they just come right back and enforce them anyway. There's no there's no law enforcement body that can keep state governments from enforcing whatever laws they like, whether they're constitutional or not. Even when they're ruled unconstitutional, they change two words in the bill, they pass it again, and it's the same exact law with different wording, and they still get it pushed through. Or they just ignore the fact that they were ruled against and were told they have to change the way they do things. Like with New York, they got told they could not have a May issue system when it comes to issuing permits. You can't just decide. Someone has to prove that they deserve the right. Imagine having to prove to somebody that you deserve the right to vote. Could you imagine how upset people would be with that? Well, how do I prove I have the right to vote? If you can't do it, same thing with the right to keep and bear arms. How do you prove that you deserve to have that right? It's in the Constitution. It's guaranteed. It was the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. It's there. You shouldn't have to prove your right, your ability to exercise your right to anybody. Your right is a given. It's not up for debate. It shouldn't be. But a lot of these states feel like they can take these rights away if they do it kind of in a backdoor way, or they start off small and inch their way in and go, well, we're going to start off by banning this. And then we're going to start off by banning this. Now, a lot of court cases are coming up where they're overturning some of these cases. But again, they're just turning around and passing something almost identical to it and then starting to enforce that before anybody even has time to go to court and prove them wrong. They're basically violating your constitutional rights, and whether you believe that you need a gun or not, if they're violating your rights, what's to keep them from taking your right to free speech, the right to assemble, your right to keep from housing soldiers in your house? Nothing. Without the Second Amendment, all the rest of the amendments don't mean much of anything, because you can't defend your right to keep your rights. Now, without the Second Amendment, the First Amendment wouldn't exist, because there'd be no reason for the government not to take it away from you. And the reason, you kind of wonder, after 240 some odd years, what would the government think they were going to try and do that would cause them to want to take your gun rights away? What are they planning? Why do they not want you to be armed? When you consider how many legal gun owners provide protection against criminal activity, it's astronomical. But those are figures you're almost never going to see, because they're not always easily defined. Who's to say the guy with the gun would have shot somebody if you weren't there to stop him? Oh, maybe not. Maybe he would. You know, who knows? You can't determine what would have happened. It's like there was a movie with Tom Cruise, and they were doing pre-crime, and they could arrest somebody for even having the thought of killing somebody. They would arrest them and charge them with a crime before it ever even happened. Same thing. If you could preempt criminal activity by the use of force or the use of a threat of a weapon, and it stops somebody, like, say, there could be a guy in a mall who actually this is a story from a few years back. He was in a mall. He had shot, I think, one magazine full, and he was reloading, and a concealed carry holder confronted him, and he gave up on the spot. He didn't want to fight. He just wanted to shoot innocent victims. And they say the shooting could have been horribly worse. But because it was stopped, we don't know how many lives that person saved. We don't know, because it didn't happen. something like that. You can't really, it's hard to get a number on how many people's lives would be saved by somebody coming in with a gun and stopping a bad guy. Because maybe he stops everything and it never happens, and then the news will glaze over it. Oh, some guy stopped some shooter. We don't know if he was really going to shoot anybody or not, but he stopped them from pointing guns at innocent people and thinking he was going to commit a crime. But, you know, that happens. It happens every day. And it's really hard to determine, you know, who's going to do it and who's not. Like this guy in Isla Vista, he actually ended up, I think he killed six people. And only three of them were shot, three of them were stabbed, and then he wounded a bunch of people by running people over with his car. And this was apparently over something between male-female situation there. He had had some issue with some woman or something. And he was out there trying to show what a big man he was. But, you know, it's weird because this brings me to my next point. There are so many people out there who are so afraid of so many things that they just don't know that they're disarming themselves for no good reason. If you look, I have a list here. Let's see if I can get to this real quick. It's a list of phobias. And these are what they call mostly irrational phobias. And, you know, there are so many of these. I mean, everybody may suffer from some of them. Fear of heights, fear of spiders. There's fear of the color yellow. I mean, that's actually a labeled phobia. Fear of flying, fear of pain. Now, to me, the fear of pain is just not really a fear, but xanthrophobia, the fear of the color yellow. Fear of clothing, vestophobia. Yeah, if you're afraid of clothes. Oh, my God. And there's fear of mirrors, fear of dining with others, fear of darkness, fear of heights, flying, pain, open spaces, or crowds. So whether you're alone or you're together, you could have that fear. That's a possibility. Here's one for all you women. Androphobia, fear of men. Fear of choking, fear of anger, fear of flowers, fear of people or society, fear of being touched, fear of peanut butter. So the list of fears go on and on. And, you know, most of these people have to learn how to deal with these fears. And you're wondering, why am I talking about medical conditions of fears? Because there's one in particular I want to get to that has really pushed itself more to the forefront of society lately. And that's hoplophobia. Now, hoplophobia is the irrational fear of guns. And there are so many people, irrational, morbid fear of guns. From the Greek hoplites, which is weapon, and then phobia, which is fear, may cause sweating, faintness, discomfort, rapid pulse, nausea, sleeplessness. And hoplophobics are common and should never be involved in setting gun politics because they have an irrational fear of guns. If you have an irrational fear, you should not impose that irrational fear on making rules for people or making laws to govern people. Now, you need to get treatment. There are ways to do this. But a hoplophobic will just absolutely, they'll be panicked, they'll be locked down, they could have nausea, sweating, they could have all these symptoms just by seeing a gun. Even though a gun is just a tool, those of you who know that. You know, they're probably, I didn't look, I should have looked to see if there's any fear of any particular kind of tools. It's just like some people walk into a Home Depot and maybe they have a fear of power tools. Boom. They wouldn't be able to walk in there. And they would try and pass laws to prevent people from using power tools. You cannot have people who have irrational fears of anything to be in charge of making law. So let's try and keep the hoplophobics out of government. That's not where they deserve to be. And one story I remember a while back was a lady who called the police because a guy in a Jeep pulled into his parking spot, and she called the police and reported him for having an assault rifle strapped to his hood. She was in fear for her life. And I'm thinking, okay, if it's strapped to the hood, first of all, why would it bother anybody if it was strapped to the hood? Also, when the police arrived on scene, she tried her best to detain him. So he stayed around for a while. The police showed up. They took one look at his Jeep and they took one look at her and they pulled her aside to talk to her because the guy had a jack, one of the high capable jacks to lift a four-wheel drive off the ground. He had that on the hood of his car, and she assumed, because for some reason she thought it looked menacing and she thought it looked like a rifle and she thought it was a gun. because she has hoplophobia so bad, anything that reminds her of her gun sends her into a fear-stricken panic. These are not the kind of people we need to have in society running around free. These people need treatment. They need help. They need to find a way to overcome their fears. So what I've done is I've made a list of things that can be done to help these people overcome these fears. You may wonder, oh my God, what does that entail? Let's see. We're going to get into some of this. Okay. Oh no, did I forget that page? Maybe. But anyway, there are ways to get treatment. Some of them is exposure. Expose yourself to more guns. Even if they're not using them or touching them or helping them, get into a place where you can help expose somebody to a gun and show them. It's nothing more than an inanimate object. It has no power over you. It can't do anything to you unless somebody is behind it with intent. The gun itself has several steps before it can even become deadly. The fact that a lady thought a jack on the top in front of a Jeep was a gun is shocking to me. She had so little knowledge that she couldn't even distinguish a difference between an assault rifle. She obviously had no idea what an assault rifle even looked like. But the media has indoctrinated her with this fear that all guns are horrible and nobody should have them and everybody who has them is bad. So she assumes this fear. And then anytime she sees a gun or thinks she sees a gun, she's going to panic, call the authorities, or try and, I don't know, stop somebody from going about their business because she thinks they shouldn't have it. And they do this all the time. I see a lot of YouTubers will get out there and they'll walk around with a gun slung over their shoulder where it's legal. And they're armed with their knowledge of the law and they'll walk around and somebody undoubtedly will call the police on them and the police will come out and have a conversation. They'll have an encounter with this person testing the limits of the law. And you know, a lot of these guys are just doing it because, you know, they want to make a video. I get that. But they're trying to show that almost any time they do this, somebody will call the police if they see somebody walking around with a non-concealed weapon. It will be something they will call the police on, and then the police will come out and they will have to have a confrontation with this man. And their job is to keep public safety. And is somebody walking around with a gun inherently unsafe? Even though they're not violating any laws, is that something that they're allowed to do? Can they stop somebody for not committing any crime? And then at what point do you have to decide to just be complicit and comply with their requests, whether they're constitutional or legal or not? And that's kind of what these guys do when they do these videos. They strap on a gun, they walk outside, they walk around up and down the street. One guy was even walking up and down the street with an AR-15 on his shoulder in front of a police station. And the police came out. They approached him. They confronted him, asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm just taking the old AR-15 out for a walk. Then he stated all the legal precedent and all the laws that said he's allowed to do this. There's no law against it. And unless he's being accused of a crime, they don't even have the right to detain him. Which now in some states, that law is questionable too. In New York, they had a stop and ask randomly anybody they wanted to. And I think that got called back though. I think the courts decided, you know what, you can't just randomly stop people for no reason whatsoever and ask them to identify themselves and say what their business is that day. That's not something they're allowed to do. But yet, states will still do it. Police officers will still do it. And I understand. You're walking up and down the street in front of a police station, back and forth. You know, you're obviously seeking the attention of the police that are there. Now, to what end, they would have the right to ask. Now, if they go up there and ask him and he says, I'm just taking the AR-15 out for a walk, they should say, so you're just exercising your Second Amendment rights? He would say, yes. And they should walk back in and go, okay. Well, I'm just letting you know, people are calling us because they see you walking around out here and it's causing a problem with us. We're getting calls and we have to investigate. By law, we have to investigate every call we get that has to do with a possible weapon. So I'm just letting you know there may be a couple other officers that come out and want to talk to you. And as long as you're well within your rights and within your legal standing, there's nothing else that can be done. But we have to let you know it's putting a lot of burden on us. Then that's because hoplophobia has been an accepted fear that people have, and they feel like they need help when they get it. So what you have to do as a gun owner, as a upstanding citizen, as a Second Amendment supporter, what you have to do is help these people over this fear by exposure, by tolerance, by training, by actually getting out there and interacting with a gun. Take a hoplophobic to the range. If they're willing to go to that step, maybe they can get past this hoplophobia. And then they won't be paralyzed with fear, nausea, sweating, headaches just by the mere sight of a gun. They won't be inclined to call the police just because they see a gun on somebody. Whether they're, you know, it's not being drawn down on anybody, it's just being holstered or over the shoulder. And they have every right to do that in most jurisdictions. Now, be sure of this, because a lot of jurisdictions have laws, most of them based from the 1800s, when you were not allowed to bring a gun into city limits without a permit. Now, it was funny. This one guy was doing it with his rifle, and it turned out they had just passed a law a few weeks before that allowed him to do this. Prior to that law passing, he would have been in violation of a law and would have been subject to detainment and arrest. But he knew the law so well, he knew at this point he was not doing anything wrong, he was not violating any laws, and he knew this. And when the cops confronted him, now it's funny to see the differences, because some of the police officers have an attitude where they're always right and they don't know what they're talking about a lot of the times. Now, granted, police are not lawyers. They're not judges. They're just concerned with public safety. And when they get a half a dozen calls from citizens saying that they're afraid because somebody's walking up and down the street with a gun, they have to investigate and they have to confront the person. And the first thing they want to do is ask for identification. Now, I don't know. Each state probably has different laws about identifying yourself. If you're not driving a car, then having to produce a driver's license is probably not something you have to do. And I just don't know how far they can go with having to produce identification if you're not in a motor vehicle or driving a motor vehicle. Do you have to produce your driver's license if you're not driving? That would seem like it would only be specifically allowed if you're driving a vehicle, and you have to prove that you have the privilege to drive a car. That's right. Driving is not a right. There is no right to drive anywhere in the Constitution, especially on public roads. Now, on private property, that's up to the people who own the property, whether you can drive or not. And for those of you who live in very rural areas, you probably know this. You've been driving a car since you were 12, old enough to reach the pedals probably, but you have to stay on the family farmland or stay on the family roads. You're not allowed to go out into the street unless the sheriff there knows who you are and they have some leeway for that. But most of the time, if you're on public streets, you are supposed to be a licensed driver in, I believe, almost every state. So that's something now. Granted, if you're driving an off-road vehicle, that may be different also. And you're wondering, and I'm not talking about a dirt bike or a side-by-side. I'm talking about if you're driving a tractor down the road, which is allowed, taking it from one part of the farm to the other, I don't know if you need a driver's license to do that. I'm not sure. And I know a lot of cities now are getting, a lot of more urban areas are allowing golf carts to be used on public roads. Or they have special trails that are cut just for golf carts, or what they call LSVs, low-speed vehicles. Now, if they're LSVs, official LSVs must have turn signals, must have rearview mirrors, must have backup lights, must have what any other road-going vehicle can have. And I believe they have a speed limit of 20 miles per hour. You go 21 miles per hour, you can get a ticket and be fined. So a lot of the I was looking at some of these golf carts, and a lot of them have speed limiters where you limit your speed to 19 miles an hour. So that way you won't go over the speed limit if you're in a low speed vehicle and you won't get a ticket. But again, you don't need a license to drive a low speed vehicle if your city allows that to be done, or if your township or your county allows that, if they have special places for you to drive, or if they allow you on public roads. And as long as they're city roads or county roads in that county or that city had made some leeway for you to drive your off-road vehicle, then you don't have to. But when you're walking your AR-15 up and down the street, you know, and you do, and most of these guys who do this, they expect to be confronted. That's kind of why they're doing it. They want to go out there. They want to get confronted. They want to talk to the police about their rights. And a lot of them instantly get an attitude because them seeing anybody with a gun and it's not them or another law enforcement officer, they don't like that. Even though your rights are guaranteed in the Constitution, a lot of police officers don't realize what your rights are or how you can exercise them. Now, granted, that's not their fault. It's the fault of their training. They don't know what they're supposed to know in order to confront these people. And you can see a lot of different attitudes on a lot of the police officers. A lot of them get frustrated because it causes them a lot of undue stress. You know, to see somebody's walking around with a rifle slung over their shoulder in the middle of the day, you know, these guys, they want to get home at night. They don't want to have a confrontation with somebody who could possibly cause them harm or death. So when they confront somebody like that, they're very cautious. Like I say, the one gentleman I saw in one video, the police officer approached him with his gun unsnapped and his hand on the pistol. Even though the guy's rifle was slung over his shoulder and not touching his hands in any way, he wanted to make sure he was not going to put himself in a situation where he could be harmed or even killed by confronting somebody with a weapon. And it's unfortunate that it has come to that. And other police officers just stop, talk to him, ask him to identify himself. If he didn't, he just ask him what he's doing, where he's going. And they say, all right, yeah, you're well within your rights. But just know we're receiving calls about it. So, you know, you're causing us undue stress. You're causing us to have to come out and talk to you when people keep calling. You know, we'll try and explain to them you're within your rights to do so. But if they, you know, but there's so much hoplophobia going on out there that people just get afraid when they even see a gun. Not pointed at them, not shooting anybody, not pointed at anybody. Just the fact that they see one. They get so panicked, they freak out, they call law enforcement. Now what they need to do is contact a psychiatrist, have some counseling, talk to friends, you know, overcome this irrational fear. There should be no reason why you should be afraid of a gun just because it's there. It's not pointed at you, you don't even know if it's loaded or not, but you don't care. You're afraid of it. You're afraid of an inanimate object, and you need psychiatric help. Especially if this is something that's going to cause you a lot of stress, you need to get help to deal with these feelings you're having. Because your feelings don't interfere with a person's right as a citizen in the United States. If you feel scared because you see a gun, then maybe you need to live somewhere where it's not allowed. And the United States maybe isn't your country. Maybe you should go somewhere else. Maybe you should try and find a place that doesn't allow guns. And live there, and then you can live in peace until they come and shoot you and take whatever you have. You know, the only way to protect yourself is by doing it yourself to start with. You know, when seconds count, cops are minutes away. Keep that in mind. But also, talk to somebody who maybe has guns. Let them let you touch one, hold one in a controlled environment. Let them explain to you how it works, so maybe if you have an understanding of how it functions, you won't be as afraid. So I'm asking everybody out there who is a gun owner or has friends who are hoplophobic, try and help them out. Let's not criticize them. Let's be understanding. Let's help them out. Let's help them understand that these are just tools. There's nothing else that needs to be done except realizing respect for the tool is always what you need. Whether it's a power saw, whether it's a chainsaw, whether it's a drill, whether it's a gun, it's a tool. So help out your local hoplophobics. Let's help them get over this. Let's try and eliminate this disease. All right. Thanks very much for listening. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.